Thank you once again for loading me down and queuing me up. I'm Finn J.D. John, bringing you another daily episode of the Offbeat Oregon History Audio Edition Podcast. Every weekday, this podcast brings you another story from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History Syndicated Newspaper Column. Full details are at offbeatoregon.com. That is our anchor page, and you should totally check it out if you haven't yet. But first, sit back and relax, and let me tell you the story of the saving of Crater Lake. There were lots and lots of people who really wanted that property. And it took an Albany newspaper man 20 years to get it set aside and saved for us to enjoy today. The story was first published on March 22nd, 2009, under the headline, Love Crater Lake? Thank an Early Albany Newspaper Man. Here we go. In Oregon, there's one place where you're allowed to fish for free, and you've got a former Albany newspaper owner to thank for that. It's in Oregon's famous Crater Lake where you can wet a line without paying the man. Yet, very few people ever do, because the lake is one of the largest bodies of water in the state, not in terms of surface area, of course, but it's so deep that it holds an enormous amount of water, and the fish colony isn't big. It's free because the fish aren't actually supposed to be there. Crater Lake never had fish in it before, and that's part of the reason why its water is so clear and brilliantly blue. So, how did the fish get in there? Well, that gets back to the newspaper man. His friends called him Will Steele, but when he founded the Albany Herald in 1880, his name was listed as William Gladstone Steele. Albany's other newspaper was the Democrat, which at the time was more than just a name. Steele was firmly Republican. Steele was one of the most important figures in Oregon history. After being fired from his post office job in Portland for the crime of being a Republican, Americans had just elected Grover Cleveland and the Democrats were cleaning house. He went out to explore the state. One of his first priorities was to find this jewel-like lake that he had heard about as a boy, which none of the locals seemed to know existed. When he did, he raced to Washington, D.C., and somehow convinced the president, who'd canned him shortly before, to block settlement in the area until he could survey it. Then he returned to Portland and hired a survey crew and had three boats built and hauled to the lake, which he floated out on the water to take soundings. Now, this was in 1886. Steele found that he hadn't brought enough rope. He actually suggested that the lake might, in fact, be bottomless. But finally, with more line, he did find the deepest part, which was just shy of 2,000 feet. After getting Steele's report, Congress introduced a bill to preserve the lake and 36 square miles of the surrounding terrain as a national park. And the fight was on. There were a lot of trees on those 36 square miles, and several companies wanted to turn those trees into money. This would also, I want to point out, have been right around the time that the big timber and railroad companies were making their big illegal land grabs, taking over Oregon public lands with the help of hobos that they had hired to buy the property and pretend that they were planning on settling on it and then turn around and sell it back to the railroad or to the timber company or whatever. And so, of course, they wanted to do this with Crater Lake. Steele fought tirelessly for this park. Realizing that outdoorsmen, yes, men, remember this was the late 1880s, could help his cause, Steele decided to stock the lake with trout. So he offered some kids in Rogue River a dime for each minnow they caught. They brought him 600. A very worried and out-of-pocket Steele asked them what they wanted for the lot, and they requested 4 bits. Relieved, Steele gave them each a buck and took the minnows 45 miles to the lake. At each stream, he stopped to freshen the water, but most of them were dead by the time he got to the lake. Still, 37 of the original 600 survived to cause the present-day problem there. As you can imagine, those were probably 37 of the roughest, toughest, biggest, meanest minnows that he had in the bucket, so they've been a little bit difficult to get rid of since. Steele also, during that time, founded the Oregon Alpine Club, a diverse outfit composed of campers and outdoors people of all sorts, possibly with the same idea in mind. More appreciators of nature meant more support for his lake. A few years later, he organized the state's famous Mazama Club, open only to people who had summited Mount Hood. Well, finally, after a 17-year fight with timber and grazing interests in Congress, Steele saw his dream realized in 1902, when Congress officially made Crater Lake the nation's fifth national park. And if you're a history buff, you'll recognize 1902 as just a little ways into the Theodore Roosevelt administration, and you will know that that was not a coincidence. This is not something that was going to have happened in the late 1890s when the timber and grazing interests basically ran the whole deal. Well, that is it for today's episode. So if you're listening for the first time and would like some more information about Offbeat Oregon history, please head on over to our central website. The anchor page is at offbeatoregon.com, where you'll find the complete catalog of about 190 columns going back to 2008, plus links out to audio and text feeds on RSS and iTunes, and links out to the Facebook and Twitter pages, too, in case you'd like to join the conversation. The website's also where you'll find full citations to sources in this story, which include works by Rick Harmon and William L. Sullivan, and also Bill Gulick. Our theme music is a track titled Old Man's Waltz by the Atlas String Band, atlasstringband.com, written by Carmen Ficarra. Coming to Corvallis? Drop me a line. Let's grab a cup of coffee and talk history. I'm at Finn at offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, at offbeatoregon. This podcast is proudly offered as a part of the Creative Commons. For details of the license, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. That's it for today. Our next episode is coming up tomorrow, which is Wednesday, and consequently it's from 2010. This is the story of Jimmy Bates, a globe-trotting sailor who chose Oregon to settle down and retire in, and in 1828, he was here and planted the first potatoes in the state of Oregon. It's a story pulled from the archives of the Works Progress Administration archivists that interviewed a whole lot of elderly people and historically interesting folks in Oregon back in the late 1930s. Look for the skinny on Jimmy tomorrow at about 6 a.m. And until then, go fill up the rest of the day with good stuff. Bye now.